Truman, Pittsburgh chapter, oral history. The date is February 20th, 1995. The interviewer is Natalie Apple, the recorder, Ruth Adelson, and our respondent is Hunsie Butler. Hunsie, would you tell us your address, please?
5710 Bartlett Street, Pittsburgh, 15217.
Thank you. Okay. Hunsie, could you tell us about how you got to Pittsburgh?
I guess it's a romantic way. I met Donald, my husband, in at a Zionist convention in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we corresponded for a while. Then he went into the service for 3.5 years. And when he came out, we had been corresponding regularly the whole time. When he came out, we became engaged, and in June 1946, we were married.
Mm-hmm. Have you always been a member of the Orthodox community?
Yes. My parents came from Palestine then, both of them observant, and I was brought up in Boston, and there we had a very small observance community, but we sort of, we held on the whole time, and of course since we're married, we've been an active part of the Orthodox Jewish community here.
Are you currently affiliated with one of the synagogues?
Yes, Paul Tzedek.
Okay. And I guess you've enjoyed the article in today's Post Gazette?
You know, I saw today's article. I haven't read yesterday's yet because we haven't really caught up, but I understand that it was quite a coverage there.
Mm-hmm. Should be an interesting series.
Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not. Well, you're not going to, you might find things you don't love about what they said.
I can't even comment. It's just that when I was looking at the paper, this picture of the man wearing the tefillin, mm-hmm. What is that doing in the regular newspaper, you know? And so I just really scanned it.
You didn't see anything ironic about it being done during Black History Month, right?
You know, that's so true. It's so true.
And so all of your married life, you've been in the Pittsburgh region?
We've been in Squirrel Hill the whole time. Mm-hmm. This is our, we live in this home since the 50s.
Mm.
And our youngest child was born here, but we lived around near Taylor Aldridge High School and then moved here. And we love it. It's interesting, when I first came from Boston, we were very active in the Boston community. My father and my mother both were they rest in peace, were both very active there. And coming to Pittsburgh, I had such a strange feeling that I was coming to Hicksville. It was ironic. It really wasn't true, but somehow the radio, I heard sort of country music, and I just wasn't aware of the scope of the Jewish community here. I love it here now.
Have your children remained in the city?
No.
Oh, unfortunately.
That's a sad... somehow I feel that once they go away to college, my boys went away to yeshiva, and then from there to college, and somehow once they left, we knew, and our daughters also went away to college.
How many children are there?
I have 4, 2 boys and 2 girls. Actually, girl, boy, boy, girl. And they're in America, though. There's my 3 of them live in New York, and 1 lives in Silver Spring, Maryland, Washington.
Did you ever live, you personally ever live in Israel?
No. We've gone frequently, and I have a lot of family there, mm-hmm. because both parents were there. As a matter of fact, I think that I personally have more relatives in Israel than I have in America. So we go there. It's really a joyous occasion. Now we manage to go there at least a month a year, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that do you think that your children got an adequate religious education in Pittsburgh?
Oh yes. They all went to Hillel Academy. As a matter of fact, Hillel was founded in my in-laws' home. The year we were married,
mm-hmm.
And my husband and I both have been active in the school. Well, my husband is one of the founders, and we've been on the board and on the Board of Education, and now we're both continuing on the board of law. And, you know, it's been up and down, but we're very satisfied. They were more than adequately prepared for the advanced schools they went into, both religious and general studies. Mm-hmm. The girls both went to Barnard, and my son, one son went to Georgetown Law School, and not Georgetown.
Is that what it's called? George Washington? Mm-hmm.
No, Georgetown. Oh, I think
Georgetown.
It was Georgetown, right.
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
In Washington,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my younger son went to Queens College and then on to Yeshiva. He's a rabbi.
And they are continuing in the Orthodox tradition.
Yes.
The girls also.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all very, very active in their respective communities, which is a source of joy to us. And then sometimes we say, you're doing too much. And the answer is, so what did you do?
How did you get involved in with the organ transplant visitors?
We started it about 14 years ago. There was a young man that came to Pittsburgh with his wife. They were from Muncie, New York. And he was an Orthodox gentleman. At that time, there was no kosher restaurant here, and there were very few kosher facilities. And so the first logical thing for him, he looked up the telephone number of a local rabbi, and he found the rabbi of our synagogue at that time was Rabbi Safran, who, by the way, lived right across the street here.
Mm.
And he asked, what is he supposed to do? His wife went into the hospital. What can he do as far as having kosher facilities? Finding a place that he could be within the Jewish community. And of course the rabbi said, you can come live with us. And he stayed there for about a month, and then they were going away for the summer. And when they left, we invited this gentleman to come live with us, and
mm-hmm.
he was with us for 3 months. Unfortunately, his wife never lived to get a transplant. But then after this, we realized that there was a glaring problem, and we just decided among ourselves, we're a very loosely hung together organization. We call ourselves Friends of Jewish Patients. And we just organized with the idea that we would host whoever needed hosting.
Mm-hmm.
We figured it wasn't mainly that we wanted only to help Orthodox people, but they were the ones that had the least number of solutions to their problems when they came here. So this young man stayed with us for a while. We've had people stay with us for 2-3 months, families.
Mm-hmm.
it's been demanding, but extremely gratifying. We would bring food. We provide transportation. If the families want to go into a hotel on their own, or a family house, or
mm-hmm.
Ronald McDonald even, then we would provide them with food whenever they needed it, particularly Sabbath. I mean, that was the
mm-hmm.
That was the ticklish point. We'd bring them candles, which they weren't allowed to use, and finally we got one of these lamps that they could put on. And and by word of mouth, we began getting calls from Israel when anybody was coming in. We had somebody stay with us just, I believe when I spoke with you, somebody was staying,
mm-hmm.
was here. It happened not to be an observant family, but they needed help, and I said, come in, and they stayed with us for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You're not Tutsi.
No, I'm Kansi. Tutsi is in our group.
Right, because I just came from volunteering at family house.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I talked to a Tutsi.
Yeah, yeah. She's one of our active workers, Tutsi Mark.
I didn't know if there could be a
Tutsi Kansi. Both crazy names. and the thing has grown. We get calls from Israel, and we find, despite the fact that we have a pamphlet that we're just redoing now, describing the services that are available, etc., we found that the main channel was somebody told somebody who told somebody, and this is the way it goes. Now, with Rabbi Heimer as the chaplain at the hospital, it's much easier, mm-hmm. because usually if he hears of someone, he'll call me, and then we'll see what needs to be done and handle it from mm-hmm. there. And we're very, very fortunate that the Ladies Hospital aide has given us the use of an apartment exclusively for the use of Orthodox people who
wonderful.
Can't ride to the hospital on Shabbos, mm. and then so they made this apartment available.
Mm-hmm.
So things have really positively been happening, and it's a lot easier now than it used to be. And we have a lot more people who are interested in visiting. We have a group now that visits every single week. Everyone takes a separate day to visit the out-of-town patients.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very gratifying. And now the now that Rabbi Heimer is there, the people themselves get direct, I guess you'd call it rabbinic, visitation from him regardless of who else comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked out nicely.
Well, according to the article in today's Post-Gazette,
mm-hmm.
there are, they estimated 1,000 Orthodox families in the city. Would you think that was sort of a fair estimate?
I don't know
how you get a number exactly.
Well, I'll tell you how I imagine they came to this total. There are 3-day schools. Now, the community day school is predominantly conservative and
right.
reform, but there are some Orthodox there. Hillel, I guess they took the combination of the amount of students registered in Hillel and those in the yeshiva, and then added to it the number of families that are non-affiliated with either children. We wouldn't be listed in any one of the
mm-hmm.
here. And I think 1,000 is about right.
I would say that if you think about who you're talking about, it would be easy just to go to the shuls and come up with the number of families that belong, as versus where I live in Fox Chapel, and we talk about the number of Jews out there, and there's the unidentified.
Oh, sure.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas an Orthodox person is going to belong somewhere.
They need each other. Yes,
yeah.
You're right. Absolutely.
And somebody that's Reformed that says I'm Jewish
mm-hmm.
doesn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those.
Well, I was just thinking that those families that you are helping in the organ transplant program, primarily they're Orthodox, but not necessarily.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. The only ones that we've been constantly putting, you know, hosting and bringing food to have been primarily Orthodox. But if somebody comes, conservative reform, and they, oh, we've had quite a few, and we've been in touch with them, we'll always bring them challah for Shabbos, and
mm-hmm.
we'll bring them some grape juice, and sometimes we hear of a family just coming in, so we'll call around and we'll say, give me a piece of the kugel you've made, and somebody else will add whatever they have, and we make up a basket
mm-hmm.
in that way. It certainly has blended we have a wonderful feeling of camaraderie among the people that have been sometimes very, very pushed.
Mm-hmm.
It seems sometimes it's seasonal. We'll get several at one time,
uh-huh.
and then I will say, thank God people are well, we're not getting any. As soon as you say it, somebody comes up again. But in addition, along what you said, I work for the JEI. When I first came here, I came here as a teacher at the Hebrew Institute. In fact, that's the only place I've really worked
mm-hmm.
Since I came. I did teaching until about 15 years ago. And then I was the principal of the Hebrew Institute. And then when the Hebrew Institute disbanded, I stayed on with the JEI. You know what the JEI is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I didn't realize when you say it was disbanded, I thought the Hebrew Institute was sort of just subsumed, I guess.
I guess you could, I mean, it was at the recommendation of Federation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no Sunday school?
Mm-hmm.
I that's what I said to you, that I didn't.
Well, you're talking to somebody who went to Jewish Hebrew Institute on the Hill.
Right, and I was saying...
My husband did, too.
And I was saying, my father was... My father's dead 31 years, but he was one of the board members.
What's your maiden name?
Barnett. Herman Barnett.
Oh, I remember the name.
Yeah,
yes.
It's rare in this day and age.
No,
because he's dead so long.
Well, But I've been around for a while.
Well, you, right. You've been around as long as. But and I was saying I didn't remember hearing that name for a couple years.
What, Hebrew Institute?
Yes, I had no idea what had happened.
This is
to
now. I think the JEI is in its fourth year of existence now. Now JEI is more of a.
So what is the JEI doing?
Jewish Education Institute. It's sort of an umbrella group that has the School for Advanced Jewish Studies under its protection, the Hebrew Department of Community Day School, Hebrew Judaic, and we maintain a Jewish Teachers Resource Center. And then under the Resource Center, we have a Jewish Teachers Institute, seminars and stuff like that. Very, very involved. I mean,
isn't there an adult education group?
Adult education, very much so. We do the that goes under the Resource Center.
Oh.
And it's adult education, it's teacher education, it's programming, it's curriculum planning, bringing in specialists from Israel, America, wherever. To have workshops and seminars for the teachers. It's an ongoing thing and it has been extremely productive.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Tzipora Gur is the educational head of it, and Skip Grinberg is the executive director. And so between the two, I've been busy, between
mm-hmm.
the patients and the work at the school.
What is your role there now at the JEI?
I'm associated with Dr. Gore.
Okay.
But it's a part-time, I can't give it full-time, but it's full-time sometimes and part-time,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Part-time sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me on my toes because we're constantly looking for new ideas. And for example, one of our projects is seeing to it that...
They spell Dr. Gore. It's not
G-U-R.
Yeah.
It's a Tzipora. Z-I-P-O-R-A.
Yeah.
She would be somebody interesting to interview, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
but that's not true, but you know what I mean? They're waiting for her to get old.
Yeah, the only thing is she has been so vital on the education
true?
Scene. It's
mm-hmm.
marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
She's a phenomenal person.
And it doesn't sound like you are shedding tears over the demise of the Hebrew Institute as it once was.
Well,
this is a mixed feeling.
It's mixed for one reason, because there is a history to Hebrew Institute that's gone. I mean, like as you say, you don't hear about it at all. And
well, so then there's no education of the young children.
Not officially under JEI,
exactly.
Although...
Do you go into different religious schools that
yes,
are
Yes, we go into everyone.
Okay, okay.
Orthodox, conservative,
but,
reform.
But you're not getting that group of people that supposedly couldn't afford to belong to a synagogue or chose not to and only belong to Hebrew Institute.
You know, this is interesting.
Because there was this group of people that didn't want this affiliation,
right.
Or said they couldn't afford,
and that was
which
main
was a lie.
Concern.
If you want to afford, you can
no
afford.
No question.
But
we felt very sensitive about that. As a matter of fact, when we disbanded, I tried very hard, and I succeeded at the time to see to it that everyone that we had was placed in another school, and that they were not pressured to pay any tuition if they couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no gauge for me to know whether there are other unaffiliated families today who cannot find a place for themselves, which is unfortunate.
Right.
Because we really cater to everyone at the Institute. No, technically, JEI is not a school. We don't work directly with children. We work with all the schools, all the Hebrew schools and all the Sunday schools. We work with the rabbis, with the congregations for adult ed, and we try to make it a cohesive community. And it's very demanding, but it's fascinating because we have had the cooperation of all the schools, which is
well, the Hebrew Institute
wonderful.
Then did not close because of lack of enrollment. Or interest.
Oh, I think it dwindled.
Yeah,
it dwindled considerably.
It was.
And you see the Hebrew Institute was always supported by Federation. and the congregational schools were not, and there was a lot of resentment that why are we getting the money and our kids are not getting any. Then they started a fee plan where they paid each school X number of dollars per student, but it wasn't the same, and it was allowed to dwindle.
Mm-hmm.
Community day school had a drop off, and then it's gone. You know, but there was a period those classes were getting real small. And
I think
it came back to life again.
Yeah, because
maybe 10 years ago, or
something. People were unhappy with the public school system,
mm-hmm. well.
with the busing, you know.
And you had the Churchill, Woodland Hills. So, but there was a period it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely on the upswing.
Oh, very much.
All the day schools are.
Mm-hmm.
They're all. Thank God they're all doing well. But I think that the people are much more conscious of Jewish education within the last 10 years, let's say. It was sort of put on the front burner, even at Federation, where it wasn't before, and that was a big step. I remember when there was a National Convention of Education, of Federation year, I don't know how many years ago it was, and there were a group of people that came in who were affiliated, not in Pittsburgh, affiliated out of the city, with their respective day schools, and they were very upset that the day schools was not a major issue,
mm-hmm.
On the Federation agenda, and they picketed, and I thought, oh my heavens, Jews picketing, you know?
Jews, right, right.
Now, was the money from JEI coming from or anywhere else?
From Federation.
From Federation.
Yeah. And then
is there any other?
Well, we do try to get as many private grants as we can.
How do you think the new building program is going to affect your future enrollment and curriculum planning?
For us personally, it'll just be a change of site.
Okay.
I believe that in our Teachers Resource Center, hopefully it'll enhance the usage, although we do. The head of the resource center is Carolyn Linder, she's a very ambitious young lady, and she's very imaginative, and we've had some very successful educational workshop
mm-hmm.
days. In fact, there's one day a year that we set aside, Yom Limud, a day of learning for teachers, and we've had over 400 in attendance, so that's a
quite a
good
project.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And wonderful exchange of ideas there, and she gets them the latest in educational supplies, tapes and projects and you name it, anything that anyone could possibly dream of using in the classroom, she sees to it that our center has.
Mm-hmm.
It's very productive.
Now, since I don't follow these things exactly, the new center is going to be at the St. Philomena site.
Yes.
Okay. Too bad for you. You could have walked
across
the street.
Yeah, I was just saying. I thought that was right. But
what
I
else
think
is going to be there besides?
The CDS.
Okay. And they're not going to put the senior citizens anything there?
They're
right
going
here.
To be here.
Oh, that's
going
to be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I happen to feel that it's not a bad idea for the school to be more removed from Murray Avenue. Not so much Murray Avenue, but traffic.
It's good
Absolutely.
Grounds for the kids. They can play
yes.
their
yeah.
soccer games there.
Absolutely. I
and,
haven't
and
been
the,
in
and,
there.
And the senior citizens
need
the
closeness.
To
yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
In the sense the senior citizen is not going to have the car, and anybody that's going to be in
absolutely.
The school is going to have a van.
No question. No question. I think it's a good breakdown. The only other, our resource center will be there, which is also good, because they'll be parking there and
mm-hmm.
Makes it a lot easier. We're very crammed on Denniston, and people sometimes complain that
there's
they have
no
to go around
to
the
car.
Block several times before they can find someplace. So hopefully, I just hope we get going.
Well, it looks as if things are happening.
Here.
Right here, yes.
My heart broke when they were breaking up some of these houses, because it's
Neighbors,
and then one of them was the two of them were really synagogues, and our kollel was in one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was like a man without a country for a while. They didn't know where to go, but now they found a place on Shady Avenue,
oh.
their temporary place.
Okay.
There's a lot going on in the community.
Well, you've certainly had a lot of accomplishments, you personally, that must have been very satisfying for you. Is there any way that you can prioritize and say this was the most important?
I don't think so. You know, when the children were growing up, we were extremely, extremely active in the day-to-day goings-on of the Phil Academy. And its educational program as well as its fundraising. And I founded a women's club that was a fundraising arm of the school years ago. Dates I don't recall. And at the time, I had no children, but it was such an exciting idea that we were starting a new school, and it was a whole new idea. Who talked about day school education in the late 40s, the early 50s? And we used to eat, sleep, and drink education to such an extent that, you know, we formed a group of friends that were very close, and we would work with them with the school all week long, and then weekends we socialized. And we used to say, if we're going to socialize, you have to leave Hill Academy at the door and not discuss it tonight, and come in and just relax. But I guess that's been my longest. It's interesting. My work has always been at the Hebrew Institute. All my volunteer work, and I substitute taught there quite often. Mm-hmm. has been Hill El. It's been religious education, and I think most people feel that way. If your children go there, then you want to be as active as you can. And at that time, I was teaching from 4 to 6 every day, so my days were more or less free to to do whatever I could.
Excuse me.
Can I get you a drink?
No. It must be also very gratifying, although Hillel hasn't expanded, but to see the new yeshiva.
Oh yeah. We're in favor of Jewish education, period. I'm thrilled that CDS has expanded, because I feel that not everyone can fit into a slot, and the important thing is that children are learning. And we know from the registration or at least 1,000 kids in the city who are getting an intensive Jewish education, which is wonderful. And there's a lot of cooperation between the various schools. As a matter of fact, the JEI provides the language program for each of the day schools. In addition to Dr. Gore being the head of the Judaic program at CDS, we'll provide the curriculum for Hebrew language teaching. We'll give free workshops for the teachers on teacher education. We're going to be supplying some workshops to teachers on discipline very soon. We use the Chuck Marinello, the psychologist, who has been talking to the has been working with the teachers. Right now, there's a parenting workshop for all the parents of all the day schools. So it's together. We're working as community, which is wonderful.
How has the influx of the Russian immigrants affected you in your schools?
In the beginning, I believe the Hillel got most of the most of the students, and it was very difficult. And because of it,
beginning like 10 years ago. What would you
I think
say?
It's even more than
more
that.
Than that, because I was teaching at Auburn Heights at that time.
It may be more 15. Like 15 mm-hmm. years ago. I think there were like two waves of Russian immigrants. The first wave was, interestingly enough, the children were given free education in the day school, and the parents, I believe, were given apartments. I don't remember mm-hmm. how long.
6 months.
6 months with furnishing, right?
Right.
And the kids learned until the parents became independent.
They stopped